Good evening, everybody, again, and glad to see you here. And I'm just trying to get all my notes spread out evenly here so I can actually read them. Before we start this gospel meeting, we shall bow, close our eyes and bow in prayer and ask our Lord and God for help. Our Heavenly Father, we come together tonight, Father, to open up thy word, and we ask that thou bless the opening of thy word. Father, we read in John's Gospel that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Father, and farther down we read that the Word was made flesh and dwelled among men. Father, thy Son is the Word. Father, thy Son is the truth, the only truth that we have in this life to concern about, Father. We give thanks that he was willing to be made flesh. We give thanks that he came down from heaven to down to planet Earth to give himself on the cross for sinful men and women like us. Father, we pray that tonight, not just here, but wherever thy gospel is heard, that a person will listen up and have a soft heart and understand where he is before a righteous but loving God. Father, we pray for this, give thanks for the Lord Jesus. In his name, amen. Amen. I want to read three passages tonight. And I want to start with the book of Romans, chapter 3, and I want to start with verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now this is the bad news we talked about tonight. And then we go to verse number 24, the next one down, which is the good news, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So I want to talk tonight about the sinfulness of men, the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the choices that we would have to make. Now, I just want to go to Hebrews, towards the end of your Bible, to Hebrews 2 and 3. Hebrews 2, verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And this just tells us that there is a choice that we have to make in our lives. Now, as people born into this world, naturally by birth, God already gave us physical life to start off with, but he wants to give us much more. He wants to also give us spiritual life. He wants to give us eternal life, a place in heaven with him. Now, the bad news is that we have a problem which is a spiritual problem that plagued the world since the beginning. In the beginning, we mean Adam and Eve. They sinned. And because of their sin, we all became sinners. Now what does that mean? In Romans 23, I read it again. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now define sinner. A sinner is someone who cannot measure up to God's standards of his holiness. In that regard, we just read, we all fall short. And it's not the end of our problems, really. For God is perfect and just, and he hates sin so much that his character demands that sin to be punished. No, it's not good news, but it is the truth. And none of us like bad news, including myself, but it's necessary for us to face the fact and the truth. For example, if you would go to your doctor and after a thorough examination, the doctor tells you that your blood pressure is doing just great and that your cholesterol is absolutely right on the mark and that your electrolytes are all balanced, that you're doing just fine, but there's just one small problem, that you have cancer. But he just tells you that he doesn't want to talk about it because he doesn't want to upset you. For this is what man does with his sin. We don't want to talk about it because it makes us feel bad. It upsets us. But you would want the doctor to tell you the truth, so even if it's a hard truth to take. And believe me, in my recent life, I actually met a doctor that was like that, that did not want to tell the truth. And because with the truth at hand, you can take measure or remedy the problem that, or you can choose to ignore the problem, but it won't solve the problem or make it appear. The problem is still there. And in Isaiah 1:6, we read of such a sickness, and it says, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, and neither mollified with ointment. Here the Bible tells us that we have, this is the sickness that we have. This is how God looks at our sickness of sin. And in the unsaved state, our wounds have not been closed, nor bound, nor mollified with ointment. But we also have good news tonight. The good news is that God is not only a just God, but he's also a loving God and knows and understands our problem. For he provided a solution for our great sickness. We need salvation. We need to be saved. We need to be forgiven. And we need to be restored back to him. For we read, the wages of sin is death, but not physical, but spiritual. And sin cannot be allowed in heaven, but in his loving kindness, God remedied the problem. And as we read in John 3:16, right there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And in Romans 2:3, which we just read before, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Here we have God's love brought to us by the Lord Jesus. And in 1 Peter 3:18, it reads, for Christ also has once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The Lord Jesus was willing to come from heaven and die for sinful men and women and children, like us all here together today, to go to the cross, to take our accumulated sin up onto himself. Now, I want to just shortly speak on the problem that our sin created. And I kind of thought about it today, and I looked at sin like a credit card. If you had a credit card that you could just keep on charging up, and you don't have to pay it back until a certain time. But when it comes to pay back this credit card, you don't have the means to pay it back because the currency that we have here on earth, which we could call good works, is not recognized in heaven. We cannot make up for our sinful nature. We have trouble. We have always trouble to see sin in ourselves, but we easily see the sin in others. And as someone said, I read, it says, we hate in others what we most dislike about ourselves. And we think that good works makes us right in the sight of God, but our sinful nature makes us inherently bad. Is to show you how sin can start in a day. I just have to look at myself, and I just want to tell you a little story. A few years ago, I was going to work, loaded up my tools in my little car, and by the time I got going, I was already late. So off I go, pedal to the metal, and I come up behind a guy doing 60. I said, oh no, here is another guy. First bad thought, first sin, just came out right there. I could not pass him. The speed limit on 890 is 80, and no places to get around him. I was getting even hotter under the collar. So finally, there's an open spot. I pull out my blinker, on the pedal I go, get by him, and while I look over and see who it was, I could just see him look straight ahead. I glance over my shoulder, there's a police car sitting in the driveway beside me. I look at my speedometer, 95. She is 80. Another choice thought. I put out my single light on the other side, pull over, the cop pulls up behind me. I seen the other guy drive by, having a smile on his face. Another choice thought. The policeman that morning was very nice to me. He asked me where I was going in such a hurry. I told him I was late to go to work, and he said, well, I can feel for you. He gave me a warning. He let me go. So after all this, by the time I didn't speed anymore on the way to town, I get to the railroad tracks. And who do I catch up with? The guy that I passed in a big hurry. Another choiceful thought. Another little sin that came into my head. Then I get to the Prasto railroad tracks, get to the intersection. He turns right. He turns left. I turn right. And while he looks over to see if it's clear, I look at him and he has a smile on his face. Well, that would have done it for me right there. I was ready to push the little red button on my shifter. You may ask what this little red button is. It is the button for the transmogrifier that would push him into an alternate universe. Gone. And I just have to be thankful that we don't have this little button, because on every commute, every morning, we would lose a whole bunch of people in this world. I just want to tell you how easy sin creeps into our lives. And it's not to be funny. It is a solemn thing to talk about, but we sin so easy, not even thinking about it. We sin unintentionally. Now, I want to just go on with that, if I can read my notes, what sin can end up into. We go to 1942, Nazi Germany. There was a man by the name of Rudolf Höss, the commander of Auschwitz. And at the time when he was arrested in 1945, he admitted freely that under his watch, 2.5 million Jewish people died in the gas chambers, that 500,000 froze to death or starved. Very solemn topic here. But when they asked him if he felt guilty about it, he said, I was ordered to do it. I didn't kill anybody. I just followed orders. That is just the worst extent of sin, what the mindset of the Nazi regime created in his horrible works. Another thing, in 1945, by the dropping of one single bomb, 76,000 people went into eternity. I just want to show you, I'm not blaming anybody for doing this. Rudolf has hung for what he did. But I just like to show you our sinfulness and where a sin can lead us. And that if we cannot go to heaven, because in heaven there is no sin allowed. The only one that ever came as a man was the Lord Jesus Christ. He never sinned. He could not sin. That why his sacrifice was the only one acceptable to God. Our currency of good works is not allowed in heaven. Now I want to read to you the other verse, if I can find it here. And it is in Hebrews. This is what we have to do. God already gave us the forgiveness of sin, but we have to take it. We have to want it. Now I read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, I looked up the word neglect. As a matter of fact, my wife did, because I'm not that great on the computer. And the definition for neglect is to give little attention or respect to what you are doing, to leave undone or unattended, especially through carelessness. I want to just give you one example tonight of neglect. The captain of the Exxon Valdez, all you dudes that grew up in the 80s know this story. The captain knew that his depth sounder, his sonar, was not working properly at the time. He knew that they were going to take a shortcut through shallow waters with his equipment not working properly, and he left his first officer in charge. He neglected to see all the warning signs. Shallow water, no depth sounder, leave number one in command. Can he do it? But he did, anyways. He neglected to see the warning signs that were before him. Subsequently, the vessel went aground, and it spilled 800,000 barrels of crude oil in the ocean off Alaska. Now, no life was lost in this incident, but environmental damage was tremendous. Now, the second neglect that was taking place here when was busy to operate, owners of the ship, Exxon Company, they neglected to build the ship with a double hull. It was much cheaper to build a super tanker with a single hull. So when the ship grounded out, it punctured the hull, and there was no way to get around it. After this incident, there was a committee formed, and a law came out that all super tankers or vessels holding crude oil or gas have to be double hulled. Now, this is just a sample of neglecting. Now, tonight, as we already heard, we are all sinners. So if we neglect the great salvation that the Lord Jesus gave to us, then it is our responsibility, nobody else. Millions of people, and just to show you the truth in God's word, millions of people throughout the centuries accepted this great salvation and were willing to die for it. Many were tortured and martyred for their belief. I recall a plague in the Colosseum in Rome when we visited there many years ago, and it said 15,000 Christians were killed in these walls. That gave me an eerie feeling. Now you may say, well, that was then, not now. We all have chained. But when you read what happened in the Colosseum over the 400 years it was being used, 400,000 people died. The Colosseum held 50,000 spectators. Now you would think that maybe one or two or a bunch would leave when they see innocent people killed. Why does mankind want get for entertainment, wants to see other people killed? It tells us of our darkness and our sinfulness. There's no other way to describe this. The people in the Colosseum also neglected to see the truth that was out there. The truth that they were seeing the people dying there for the belief in God's salvation. Now you have a choice to receive the great news, the great salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't dismiss it. Those that watched in the Colosseum dismissed it totally. And when there's only two choices we have in life, we can agree with God who we are and adhere to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he has done to us at the cross, or the day will come where we have to stand before God and give account of ourselves. I'll read you a verse from Revelation 20, verse 12, and it said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the book, in the books according to their works." So there will be a time that will come when we stand before God, we have to account of ourselves. So would you rather want to say, "I pay myself, I'll take what God has in store for me," or would you not rather take the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ supplied for us by on the cross, for his goodness, his love for mankind took him to the cross? How can we dismiss such great salvation? Now, I just have to tell you that I neglected my salvation for 58 years. And six and a half years ago, after hearing God's word by another Christian, I thought about it. And I knew I had a sinful nature. I had to agree with him. So that night, I humbled myself. I got onto my knees and I asked God, "Lord God in heaven, if what this man tells me is true, I need to know." And indeed, I needed to know. And God answered me in his kindness and mercy and showed me who I truly was, that I was a sinner to the core. There was no righteous bone inside of me, and all the good works that I tried to do would never take me to heaven. That I needed his salvation, and I needed his son, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. So now, tonight, if I can only ask you, when you go home, not turn on your TV, but think of what you are and who you are and the way God looks at you. And if I could just compel you to get on your knees and humble yourself before God and ask him to show you the way, he will. He will no wise cast you out. It is such a great salvation supplied by God, and all we have to do is humble ourselves and ask for it. That's all God wants us to do. So I leave you with this and give over to Dave, and don't go away. Turn on the TV tonight and watch whatever is on. Go and think about where you're going, what eternity has in store for you, for we have an eternity to spend, either in hell or with our Lord and God.